This podcast is for informational purposes only and does not constitute legal, tax, investment, financial, or other advice. It is not intended to cause or induce breach of an existing agency agreement.
This podcast is presented by Impact Commercial.
Impact Commercial, John, Alan, the team over there are fantastic. They've all been on the show.
They have, yeah.
Friends of the show.
Great guys.
Wealth of experience. They can help with all your commercial financing needs.
Whether it's owner-occupiers, land development funds, commercial investments, or multifamily, these guys got you covered.
And they recently obtained their CMHC correspondent lender status.
So for all your commercial lending needs, visit them at impactcommercial.ca.
That's impactcommercial.ca.
Attention realtors, homebuyers, and investors. If you missed out on Atlin at Clayton Crest by Zentera Developments, here's your second chance.
Atlin sold 80% in just 3 months, Adam. And because of that success, Zentera is launching Building 2, Butte.
Located in West Clayton and walking distance to the future SkyTrain station, prices are still low for now, but not for long.
Homeowners across the Lower Mainland are using equity from their current homes to invest in West Clayton, ahead of the SkyTrain and the next market upswing, because when that SkyTrain is complete and the market rebounds, it'll be too late.
This, Matt, is how wealth is built. Find out why Atlin sold so fast and register now at buttecondos.ca. That's B-U-T-E condos.ca.
Hello?
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 This is the Vancouver
Commercial
Real Estate Podcast.
Okay, we're here today with Raymond Wong, Vice President of Data Solutions there at Altus. Raymond, how are you doing today?
Great. And yourself, Corey?
Great. Well, thank you so much for joining us again. We appreciate it. We've had you on the show a couple other times. For those listeners maybe who haven't caught the past episodes, can you maybe tell us a little bit about yourself and Altus?
Sure. So Altus Group is a real estate software and data company. We're basically located on a global scale, and we're the preeminent software for real estate users.
Well, Raymond, we appreciate you taking the time. I know you're busy and stuff like that. And one reason why we wanted to have you back on is you guys have a bird's eye view of data happening in commercial real estate across this country. And I know we could probably do 3 or 4 episodes here of everything that's going on, but maybe we'll start. What have you seen over the past year from, like, you know, your perch high above? What's happened in the real estate world? Maybe in BC, and then maybe we can talk about Alberta and Toronto as sort of some key indicators as well.
Yeah, well, it's nothing new, Corey. There's just a lot of uncertainty in not just Canada, but on a global basis. And this goes back at, you know, the tail end of 2024 going into 2025. So this has caused a certain amount of disruption or lack of activity or a bit of a pause as investors and owners trying to figure out where the market's going and where the economy's moving towards and where are market fundamentals. So when you look at overall your investment activity, overall compared to a year ago, we're still down. But again, it's not down as much as we thought. So from the first half of 2024 versus 2025, we're down from $29 billion in 2024 versus $23.8 billion. So again, it's still a bit of a pause and less activity. But when you look at Vancouver, 5.3 versus $4.3 billion. So it's down a little bit, but not a lot. So we're not that far off compared to a year ago. And the hope is, as we gain a little bit more uncertainty, more certainty in the marketplace, that we'll see a bit of a turn to increase activity and confidence in the market.
Now, hearing that the down isn't nearly as much as some people might think, are you surprised by that? Or have you guys obviously been tracking this and this is kind of what you were anticipating would kind of flow through?
Well, Corey, the challenge with our data is that it's based on a lag because it's based on closed transactions. So we started hearing about the activity sort of slowing back in December, January, and we knew that it would take at least 3 months to go through the system. So we knew that we're probably going to see a slower activity in the second half of this year. And one thing we're perhaps a little surprised at, last year, the big impetus for 2024 or mid-year was the changes to the capital gains tax. So we saw a lot more investment activity in the marketplace. So for first half of 2025, being close to the last year's activity, it's sort of a pleasant surprise, but that shows you a little bit of the market. There is still uncertainty, but again, deals are still happening.
Anything surprise you over the past year? Is there anything that when you look at the data that stands out that maybe caught you off guard or you didn't anticipate?
Corey, if people were surprised, don't having surprises in 2025, I think there's a real issue. It's the speed of the sort of the economic factors in the marketplace that we knew that we're going to see inflation creep up based on the tariffs and some of the price points. But again, it's sort of held off a little while, but we're starting to see the impact now with slightly higher in inflation. And we thought that the manufacturing sector will slow a little bit at mid-year. But again, we're starting to see it now going in third quarter, that there was, I guess, very active market to get products and manufactured goods out before the tariffs actually came in. So we're starting to see a bit of a lag. So it hasn't happened. The changes that we anticipate hasn't really impacted the numbers as quickly as we thought. But again, we're starting to see it now with the economic growth and the higher unemployment numbers. So it's a little bit more caution going into the second half of this year.
Up until maybe the past, call it 6 months, or maybe just before that, a constant reoccurring investment strategy was beds and sheds, industrial, multifamily. And obviously, both of them, at least in this province, have seen a change in that with regards to vacancy rates a little bit higher. And that can be drawn into, you know, immigration, international students, and a whole bunch of things. What are you guys seeing from a data standpoint on the industrial sector and also the multifamily sector?
Well, for industrial, last year we saw a bit of a softening of rents and some changes with third-party logistic companies that didn't require that space. And there was also a lot of new construction happening in 2024. So we were starting to see average rental rates for industrial start to level off, and as well as when we were looking at, 18 months ago, $20 rents have dropped off a little bit, probably into $16, $18 a square foot, depending where you are.
Yeah.
So we're starting to see some of that impact. One, we're definitely seeing it for the new construction. New construction has really sort of slowed. So there's definitely a decrease in speculative construction. So we're starting to see the availability rates for industrial still moving up, and rent sort of leveling and come down a little bit in certain markets. But again, it's still good in the way of returns. And especially when you look at where values have sort of moved from sort of at the beginning of pandemic, industrial values have gone up by 60%. So you're looking at that type of gain over the last 5 years. And part of it is because we're undersupplied on the industrial side, but that's starting to catch up. So it has come, values have adjusted a little bit, not as much compared to the overall gain in that sector. Multi-res, again, has always been sort of a very strong demand for investors. And it's like a bond that the cap rates usually hover between 3-5%. But we've seen so a bit of a pullback in way of rents and increased availabilities, and as well as the impact of the residential condo apartments, and as well as that sort of extra supply that's hit the market that's caused a little bit of softening in the rents across Canada.
Now, I know this is probably hard to see in the data, or at least maybe not yet, but do you think the Airbnb restrictions in the province of BC have impacted the multifamily at all with regards to now there's maybe more supply into the secondary markets?
Absolutely. So we've seen a lot of restrictions allowing Airbnb and some of the condo apartments. But again, anytime you see increased supply, but I think we were looking at perhaps based on some of the affordability and some of the concerns in the economy, Airbnb was part of it, but it's not all of it, especially with the slowdown in immigration. That's also impacted the multi-res side, never mind the impact from foreign students.
Anything you see on the horizon that changes that, like immigration and foreign students, that play that much of a factor, knowing everything that we know now, that those kind of get reopened a little bit, that will eventually squeeze the vacancy?
It should, because we're seeing an increase in, especially with government partnerships and incentives, increase in purpose-built rental. And the combination of less demand that will perhaps see a little bit more affordability hit the marketplace. So I think we need to get through some of the high inventory of condominiums on the marketplace.
Yeah.
And the challenge what we also have on the apartment side is that the need from the tenants have changed a little bit. So they'd rather have more space rather than pay for amenity that they may not use. They'd rather have sort of more space, like having a Julia balcony versus a full balcony, because the space isn't utilized. And based on affordability, that there's a push for that apartments because of the rents. But to have increased functionality, especially if you're looking at a small family. So I think overall on the residential apartment side, we're going to see a shift in design. We're going to shift in what type of amenities are needed. But I think we're going to go through a bit of evolution and changes fitting what the consumers want. And this goes very similar for the office front as well. And that's going through a sort of evolution as well, based on what are the needs from the tenants when they're looking for space.
How much do tariffs impact the manufacturing side of it? Obviously, that's one thing heading into this year. I think a lot of us got thrown off when there was the whole tariff talk from our friends down south there. There was obviously a grave concern with regards to how that would impact the industrial side of things with regards to manufacturing and all of that stuff. How much impact do you think that's had or will have moving forward?
You're right in that it hasn't had a large impact yet, because especially on the construction side and construction materials, so labor has always been a high point, but we really haven't seen the increase in materials that we use, such as rebar for construction or the finishes of the actual product. And actually, in some cases, construction materials have come down a little bit. So I think, again, it goes back to the original comment that we think that we're going to see more impacts. And we removed some of our tariffs, especially with the U.S., but having the products go, the finished product come back from south of the border will impact it. So again, we haven't seen the total impact yet. Same thing with the industrial side. Even though industrial availabilities are moving up, we haven't seen, other than, I guess, the demand for industrial, that you're looking at still demand for between 25 and 75,000 square foot, but you're having less demand for warehouse distribution at 500,000 to 1 million square feet. So again, that's probably part of that impact on from the tariffs, that there's a little bit more caution in a way of securing an amount of space they may need in the short to medium term. So I think we've yet to see the full impact of the tariffs on real estate and the economy. But I really think that we're going to experience a little bit more challenges as some of those costs get passed through to the consumers and businesses.
There was a fairly large office transaction that's recently been reported over here in Vancouver that, KingSett out of Ontario had purchased a fairly, two buildings side by side. What are you guys seeing on office? Because what we're kind of feeling or hearing a little bit on the brokerage side is there's a little more interest maybe from some of the larger acquisition type tenant or clients out there that offices may be a decent long-term to medium-term play. What are you guys seeing in the data side, or what are you hearing with regards to the office markets?
It's the same thing that covered, that when you look up in the office run, and definitely the office vacancy rates are stabilizing, moving down. And 2024 lease activity was the highest since 2019. So it's a bifurcation of the market. The AAA highly amenitized assets are doing okay, and usually for Class A or Class AAA, the office vacancy rate is below 6% in the major markets. So that's come back. So when you look at that impact on values, and we have seen a decrease in values over the last 4 years just because of the higher vacancy rates and where the office market is going. So I think for investors, there are some opportunities in the marketplace to realize some of those gains in values that increases, especially buildings that are well located, centralized, close to major transportation hubs, highly amenitized in the AAA space. I think we're already seeing in the AAA space definitely a decrease in tenant inducements. So it still has to be played out. And it's important to note that a lot of that demand for office space today is not based on future demand. It's just based on accommodating companies to bring their employees back into the office. So it'll be interesting to see whether or not that's enough space, or will we see sort of a second wave of space as companies realizing that they actually need more space to accommodate return to the office rather than just the amount of space they're leasing now. So I think the office side still needs to be played out, but I think there are also opportunities on the office front, especially with certain assets with anticipated further increase in demand, especially in the next probably 6 to 12 months.
Well, it feels like retail is kind of the darling right now, that everyone's chasing the same thing, especially when you're talking about larger scale buyers like grocery anchored and stuff like that. Is the data also echoing that retail seems to be the one that's kind of bucking the trend with regards to any slowdown, if any?
Yeah, and again, it's sort of like a bifurcation of the market. Like grocery anchor retail has always been in demand, as well as the top tier regional malls. But I think there are some malls in the neighborhood or community that remains to be a challenge. And definitely we have seen increase in rents in, again, the better assets. And you're right, retail has been the darling for the last 18 months. And it'd be interesting whether or not we see a bit of a slowdown with consumers focusing more on the necessities, if they sense a bit of more of a slowdown or a possible light recession that we might run into. So we might see some hesitation of perhaps consumers, and whether or not that impacts the brick and mortar remains to be seen. But again, we have seen a good tick up in some of the rents and that demand for space.
Everybody here in BC, at least on the investment side, at some point in time during a conversation, Alberta kind of creeps into that conversation. You guys are obviously tracking data from a national level. How's Alberta done over the past 6 months? And kind of, is there any highlights or even lowlights maybe that you guys have seen the data that you can share?
Well, the Alberta story goes back 2 or 3 years now based on housing affordability. So we saw, and especially the remote work, that there's when you look at the interprovincial data, Alberta has always been positive, attracting people from other provinces and major markets like Vancouver and Toronto. So what Alberta has is a strong influx of very skilled labor, and as well as we have seen some positive impact on the office vacancy rates. It's still high in Calgary, but again, it's a little bit lower. But we even look at the data, and you know, we've had a pullback in immigration, but Alberta is still seeing the positive growth in the interprovincial migration. So I think Alberta is going to see some of those challenges as well with respect to the economy slowing. But again, when you look at the export basis, what has been quite strong for Canada is on the energy sector. So I think that's going to help Alberta. And I think they will see some of the challenges based on higher prices, especially the increases in housing costs the last couple of years. But again, they're starting to level off as well. So it's always been strong in regards to Alberta and, I mean, Edmonton and Calgary with respect to the multi-res and apartment sector, and as well as on the industrial side. And industrial continues to consistent or stable demand in that province.
Ontario is something we as a company don't follow it terribly closely, to be honest with you, but we do read a lot about it. And we do read a lot of kind of horror stories right now, it feels like. And again, I get it if it's media related, you mean if it's negative, it could get more eyes on it. What are you guys seeing from a data standpoint? Like, what is happening in Ontario, say maybe versus BC over the past few months?
Well, yeah, again, the investment activity is off a little bit. But when you look at in the office front, we've had a good influx in lease activity. And the industrial side, again, availability rates have moved up a little bit. But at the same time, the industrial availability rate is still under 5% compared to 6.2% in Vancouver. So the concern, I guess, coming forward with Ontario is what's going to happen with Southwest Ontario, especially with the changes in the auto sector, and whether or not that's going to impact the manufacturing. So when you look at the overall economy, it's still okay. But again, the uncertainty is causing some of the delay in decisions, as well as there are concerns from consumers based on the economy slowing and whether or not they're going to have a job in 6 months. So I think the growth in Ontario will be similar to the rest of Canada. It's going to be a little bit more muted, but hopefully we'll see sort of an uptick going into 2026 when some of these uncertainties sort of start dissipating.
What are your predictions for the latter half of 2025? You're obviously, you commented earlier on that sometimes it takes a while for the data to cut, for what's happening on the front lines to show up in the data and slowdowns and stuff like that. What do you foresee happening for the remainder of this year? Maybe both from just a data, from transaction standpoint, but I'd also be interested to see, get your feedback on interest rates and how much you feel that may or may not impact things moving forward. I know it's the $1 million question, but how much of an impact does that maybe have moving forward with regards to transactions?
Well, when interest rates, you know, we saw, you know, 25 basis points drop, and we're likely, or may see another drop before the end of this year. And I think when the interest rates drop, it gives people a little bit more confidence, especially on the housing market, that there's a lot of people on the sidelines, and they want to try to jump in before the market moves. So whether or not that's a 25, 50 basis point, but you're seeing a lot more sort of inquiries on the residential side. And with respect to the commercial side, it's the same thing. There's opportunities. And if you look at the main buyers in the marketplace, and this is similar across Canada, it's mainly the private buyers. So when you look at the average number of transactions, it's been moving up. But you look at the average size of transaction sales is down compared to a year ago. So I think there are still opportunities for investors in the marketplace. But again, it also depends on the expectation of returns and, you know, short, medium, or long term, and as well as whether or not there's that bid-ask separation between buyers and sellers can narrow a little bit and have a little bit more transactions. But you have to also look at that owners are really not in a desperate place to sell, right? Or that they're not doing, they're still doing okay, and they want to hang on and try to sell at their maximum price. Where we saw a bit of a softness, and I think we still continue see this, is on residential land and a number of sort of distress sales and cancellations on some of the residential projects. So we're definitely seeing that in Ontario. And it's actually based on the inexperienced builders or less experienced to handle or manage this type of market. But it's on the residential land side that we anticipate more sort of challenges with distress sales. But when you look at the overall market fundamentals, it's doing okay right across Canada. So if the market fundamentals remain, and then if we go into very, if at all, shallow recession, and that we start to build a little bit more consumer confidence, I think it's going to take a little while to really show up in numbers, probably in the, going into perhaps the second half of next year, but definitely that we should see a little bit more of an uptick, especially if some of this uncertainty regards to global trade, the tariffs sort of dissipate, and we have a little bit more certainty in the marketplace. But from a product standpoint, that there's fundamentals there. There's still a lot of investors that are looking for product, but it's based on timing and price expectations. So I think we're in an okay position right now. And I think there are opportunities for some, but there's also a little bit more caution in the markets, especially as we still go through all these negotiations and almost on a daily basis changes or different news that sort of fluctuate some of the confidence moving forward. But I think from the economy and as well as the market fundamentals, we're okay.
I guess as a final question, is there any markets, maybe BC related, that you're excited about or you're seeing a really good trend with regards to transactions or uptick in a marketplace? Is there any market in BC that caught your eye?
Well, the thing is, I think BC continues to be very attractive for investors. And again, based on the demographics, but from a product standpoint, I think it's still your food anchor, retail, your multifamily, and industrial. Industrial continues to be fundamentally strong in Vancouver. The challenge is still on the price points. So again, with the office market, I think we're going to see some changes there. But I think. Right now, I'm having challenges sort of pinpointing, but based on the product side, I think once the market moves, that there will be a demand across the board, especially for Vancouver, Toronto, and Montreal. Anything that is very recognizable on a global basis for investors, anything that represents good stability.
Raymond, we've had you on before, so you know how we wrap this up. We have a six-pack of lighthearted questions we ask all of our guests to get to know you a little bit better outside of the office. Do you have just a few more minutes?
Wait a minute. I didn't practice this part. I forgot about
this part. We get you. If you got a few more minutes, we got six lighthearted questions for you. Unfortunately, Raymond, you've done something horribly wrong, and you're given one more meal before it's all said and done. What meal are you having?
You know what? Because of the way my wife keeps me on a tight diet, I would love to have a fillet of fish.
I don't think we've had that one, but you know what? I would second that with you. That's my go-to when I go to McDonald's. What are you currently binge-watching on Netflix or Amazon?
I've been watching with my wife on the I hate to say this, some of the K-dramas, and with their like 15 or 20-part series. But I'm trying to sway away from them, but I really haven't been keeping up that much on Netflix and Amazon as of late.
It's okay. You find yourself in a bar. It's Friday night. Maybe you've had a couple beverages. Somebody sticks a karaoke mic in front of you. What song are you singing?
Oh, wow. You know what? I still like that Neil Diamond, Sweet Caroline song. And it comes up and I have to move.
Good choice. Something of late that you've purchased for $1,500 or less that's made a positive impact on your life?
Does it have to be positive?
We'll go positive or negative. How's that?
Well, something around that range is basically just upgrading our refrigerator to have ice and water. But I think it's a medium investment, and I just love having ice every single day. How's that for a boring response?
It's okay. You know, in my house, because I eat a lot, I too would say a new fridge would be a positive impact. Probably negative impact. Positive when it comes to mindset. Negative when it comes to my waste. With regards to the fridge. Now, if I don't have this wrong, Altus, you guys are centered out of Toronto, are you not?
Yes.
I hate to bring this up, but you know October is coming right around the corner here. That's the start of hockey season in this country. Do the Maple Leafs win the Stanley Cup this year?
Absolutely. No pause, no hesitation there. Absolutely.
That was a quick answer. I guess on the other side, does Edmonton win the Stanley Cup this year, or do they at least make it to the finals if Toronto's going to take it? Does Edmonton get all the way through again for a third year in a row?
I think so. They have to at this point. It'd be great to see the Leafs and the Oilers in the final. Well, that's a huge wish. I know.
It's okay. Well, Raymond, thank you so much for joining us once again. We really appreciate it. How can our listeners find out more about what you guys are doing at Altus and all the great reports that you guys put out?
Well, again, you can go to our website, altusgroup.com, and we do have what we like to do with our data is provide our clients with not just the data, but interpretation and market intelligence. So look to that site for our latest market insights into market trends, as well as benchmarking, and where we just keep up to date with what we're sort of seeing in the marketplace.
Amazing, Raymond. Thank you once again for joining us. We appreciate taking the time to let us know what's going on from a national standpoint.
Thanks, Corey. This was a lot of fun.
Thanks so much, Raymond. Take care.
Subscribe today.